Question messages. We just got through with one question message. It lasted for 3 weeks in my answer of it. And then we got another question message that grew out of that. We're looking at some prophetic or some Bible prophecy. Of course, you realize since we're in the book of Revelation, that's probably what we're dealing with is prophecy. I'm going to encourage you to get the three CDs from the previous message. I give you 10 reasons. Now, the most popular view, which is called a dispensational view, by the way, one that I don't believe. I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's biblical. But one of the things I did is I give you 10 reasons why there's no one saved after Jesus comes. Most people think they are. I realize that. Some popular movies depict people being saved after Jesus comes. But I just honestly don't think it's true. And I give you 10 reasons from Scripture why I say that. 10 reasons. So you'll have to get those three CDs. In the back, there's a glass table. You can write your name for the CDs. You can write your name on there and the CDs you want. Just write No Salvation After Rapture, Part 1, 2, and 3. And Melody will get you those that for next week. So if you've not heard that, then you need to hear that. Now, this message tonight is going to be on the 144,000. That's a question you get all the time. Who is the 144,000? They are mentioned in the book of Revelations chapter 7, and they're also mentioned in the book of Revelations chapter 14. Who are the 144,000? That is the question that we're going to deal with now. Well, in answering the question, we're going to ask questions. Question number one, we're going to ask, who are the 144,000? That's the first question we're going to ask. Question number two, we're going to ask, are they all Jews? Are they all Jews? That's the next question we're going to ask. And then we're going to look at, who is this multitude that no man can number in verse 9? So those are some of the things that we're going to look at in this text. Now, a lot of this feeds off other teaching, so you may have some more questions. If you got a question, write it down on a piece of paper and write your name on it. And put it right in this little box, and we'll cover it on Sunday evenings, okay? Now, to determine who the 144,000 are, you have to look at the context, right? Does everybody agree with that? The context tells you who the 144,000 are. Now, remember, we're during the time of the seven sealed book. I don't want to fold that up, but I will fold this up best I can. Remember, in Revelations chapter 4... and 5, and then in chapter 6, you have a picture of a seven-sealed book, a book that has seven seals on it. Okay? Each one of them seals represents what? Events. It's going to take place, and this is the future of the saved. Once these seven events take place, then Jesus' kingdom will be set up. Everybody got that? Okay. Now, the first five seals, we've looked at those. Remember what the first five seals are? Wars and rumors of wars, false religion, famines, death by pestilence, death by earthquake, death by disaster, death by disease. And then the fifth seal was persecution of the saved. Okay? Now, I've told you, and I will tell you again, those five seals are happening. Do you think we're waiting on wars and rumors of wars? And famines and sickness and pestilence and disease, persecution of the saved. I think they are happening. I think they've been happening. And I think they will continue to happen until King Jesus comes. What we're waiting on is what seal? Sixth seal. And the sixth seal, I believe, is the rapture. Okay? The sixth seal. All right. Now, let's go ahead and look at the sixth seal because we got to get the flow of the what? Flow of the context. Here's the sixth seal because the 144,000, now listen to me, the 144,000 come out in the sixth seal. You got that? The 144,000 come out in the sixth seal. The sixth seal is the rapture, and the seventh seal is the trumpet judgments. The seventh seal is the tribulation. Tribulation on the lost. You got to distinguish your tribulations that you're talking about. I mean, the time of wars and rumors of wars and famines and sickness, disease and pestilence, persecution to save, that's a tribulation. Remember, the Scriptures say we through much tribulation will enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus told His disciples, in this world ye will have tribulation. So, and that's the tribulation we're talking about there. But then there's a tribulation on the lost. God's going to say Jesus takes his people out of here. And then that will be the sixth seal. And then the seventh seal is the judgment, the trumpet judgments on those that are left behind. Okay, you got that? Now let's go ahead and look at the text. Verse 12, and I beheld, and when he had opened the, what seal? Sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black, a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now again, you think of blood, what color do you think of? You think of red, but it's black. You realize that dried blood is what color? It's black. And of course, the moon has no light in and of itself. It reflects the light of the sun. So if you darken the sun, what's going to happen to the moon? It's going to be darkened out. So that's going to be the sign, the sun being darkened and the moon turns as blood. That will be the sign that who's on his way? King Jesus is coming for his people. That's the sign. Now, I want to show you something. Turn to Luke chapter 21. We'll take my time. I'll go as far as I can. Of course, it's only 5 to 7. It's only 5 to 7. I mean, I usually preach to 8:30, so we only got almost an hour and 35 minutes. All right. Luke chapter 21. Now, what's the sign Jesus is coming? I want to repeat that to you. The sun will be darkened and the moon turned as blood. That's not happened yet. That's going to happen, and that'll be the sign that he's on his way. Okay? Now, in Luke chapter 21, I want you to see it records the same thing. Luke 21 records the same thing that John recorded in Revelation chapter 7. Luke chapter 21. Notice what it says in verse 25. Then shall, Luke 21, 25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. And upon the earth, distresses of the nations, with perplexity, and the sea and the waves will be roaring. So this is all around the time of the sixth seal. Sea is going to be really troubled. Okay? Stars of heaven will fall and hit the earth. Sun will be darkened, and moon turned as blood. And verse 26 says, men's heart will fail them for what? So they're going to be fearful. I mean, it's going to shake people up. Okay? Now, if that would happen today, we would still be here for that right there. We would be here for that. We'd see the sun had darkened. You know, we'll see some of those things begin to happen. We will be here. Men's heart will fail them for fear. But God's people's heart shouldn't fail them for fear. Because that's a sign that the king's coming. Now, let's read on. Verse 27. And then shall they what? Everybody say see. You'll see it. It's not a secret. It's no such thing as a secret rapture. I can show you 5 or 6 other verses that shows you the same thing. People's going to see it. It's not going to be a secret. He's coming with a shout. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God. It's noisy. They shall see him come. They shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now listen now. And when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head for your what? All right. So, when you see these things happen, Tim, it says to do what? We sing that song in the choir. Lift up your head for what's coming. Your redemption draws nigh. We call that the day of redemption. The day of the coming of Jesus is also the day of redemption. We know that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Why is it called the day of redemption? You know, I'm redeemed. Anybody that's saved is redeemed. It means you've been bought by the paying of a price. But I haven't received the full benefit. Listen now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I haven't received the full benefit of my redemption yet. You know what the full benefit of my redemption is? I'm going to get a new body. So are you. You know when you're going to get a new body? You'll get a new body on the day of redemption. The Bible says he's come with a shout and the voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And out of that ground is going to come what kind of body? It's going to be a new body. It's going to be incorruptible. It's going to be a body that doesn't have any sin in it. And it's going to be a body that never dies. That's why it's called the day of redemption. Then those that are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds. And the book of 1 Corinthians 15 says, as they go up, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they're going to be what? Changed. That's the day of redemption. See, the day of redemption, that day of redemption is the same day that the sun is darkened and the moon turns its blood. Now, what seal is that? Six. That's the evidence that the sixth seal is the rapture. A lot of folks miss that, but that's the evidence. It's the same day as the day of redemption. Same day that the sun is darkened and the moon turned its blood. Everybody with me? All right, let's move on. I have to establish the context. I have to do that because that's how you interpret the Scriptures. And we have to establish it that way. Okay? All right, then it says, so let's go back to Revelation 7. All right, I'm done with Luke 21. I'm going to take my time. If I don't get done, Lord lets us slip, we'll finish it next week. If it generates more questions, put it on a piece of paper and put it in the church box. And then I'll cover it on Sunday night because your question might be somebody else's question. Just put your name on it, and then I'll just, so I can make sure you're here. I'm not going to announce who asks a question. It embarrasses folks, but I'll make sure you're here when I cover it. Everybody with me? Let's look at verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it rolls together, every mountain and island will be moved out of their places. That fits good because we know there's going to be a great earthquake. And the kings of the earth and the great and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Fall on us. Revelation verse 7, verse 16 now. And they said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. For the great day of his what's come? His wrath is coming. His wrath is coming. The great day of his wrath is coming. Who? That's a good question. Who shall be able to stand? All right, so you have the sixth seal. It's happening. You got all this judgment and wrath that's getting ready to fall upon the earth. Everybody see it? I mean, you can feel it just boiling up as you read Revelation 6. And it shakes. It shows you the response of the unsaved here on the earth. They're shook up. They pray for the rocks to fall on them, to hide them, because they don't want to go. They don't want to face what they're going to have to go through in the tribulation period. Don't sound like a time of salvation either, does it? Doesn't sound like a time of salvation, does it? They're praying on the rocks to fall on them so they won't have to go through it. They realize it's going to be so bad. All right, let's move into chapter 7. Now, in chapter 7, as I said, it's where we're introduced to the 144,000. After these things, verse 1, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth with the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth and on the sea nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. So here you have angels, and they're getting ready to carry out their judgment. Remember when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent the angels there to get Lot safely out before the city was destroyed? Same thing. His judgment is getting ready to hit. Everybody got it? Feel it boiling up? But then verse 3, there's a word that comes forth that says, hurt not the earth. Wait a minute. Hurt not the earth. Neither the sea nor the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Till we have sealed. So here all this judgment, and this angel says, stop, wait a minute. Our Lord says, stop, wait there a minute. Hold that wrath, hold that judgment. I got people there. We got to seal them. Now the idea of a seal is it means to put a mark on them. Now I want to show you something. I want to turn to Revelation 1. I'm going to show you why so many people have so much trouble with Revelations. And it all has to do with Revelation 1 and verse 1. You can make a little note of this, maybe. Revelations 1 and 1, it says, Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and he signified. Everybody say signified. Underline signified and put a little note. And you know what the word signified means? It means to give by a sign or a picture. To give by a sign or a picture. So that means in the book of Revelation, there's going to be a lot of what kind of language? There will be a lot of figurative language. And the problem comes when people take figurative language literally. It tells you in verse 1 of Revelation 1 that this book is going to be a book of pictures. But the good thing about the book is it will show you what the pictures are. And you can use the scriptures to see what the pictures are. So it's a book of figurative language. And you're going to see figurative language in Revelation 7, too. So I want you to understand that. He tells you that in verse 1 of Revelation 1. People get very inconsistent with that. They'll take this part of Revelation's literal and this part figurative, this literal, this figurative, this literal, this figurative. And it's a figurative book. It's pictures. You say, why does he show it in pictures? I can learn a lot by looking at it. Sometimes you can tell me, but it's a whole lot easier when you paint a picture for me. I can see it a whole lot better. I can see it a whole lot better, okay? All right, now let's turn back to Revelation chapter 7. Remember that? So before this judgment comes, you have a picture of God saying, don't hurt the earth yet. Why? He has people here. And he says, we're going to have to seal them. We're going to have to put a mark on them. Now, he's not really going to go around with an ink horn and put marks on all of God's people whenever he comes again. As a matter of fact, God's people are sealed, are they not? Ephesians 1:30 says that after you believed, you were sealed. The Holy Spirit of promise. And Ephesians 4:30 says that we are sealed until the day of redemption. So we're already sealed. It's using what kind of language? So when something belongs to you, my father-in-law, I'm going to use my father-in-law as an example. I used to work with my father-in-law. He never did want nobody to get his tools. I don't know if he thought I was going to steal them or what. But his tools had what on it? He put his mark on them. He put his BH. That didn't stand for Big Hammer. That stood for Bob Hill. You know what that is? That's a seal. That meant that. What did that mean? Does anybody know? That meant that hammer. Yeah, if he found his hammer in my truck, he said, Jeff, is that my hammer? No, that's my hammer. He said, it's got my seal on it. Belongs to me. You see, you put a seal on something to distinguish it from other things. Has everybody got me? So this is figurative language. Now, if this judgment's getting ready to come down upon those that are left here, but before all this judgment comes down, he says, wait a minute, I've got to get my people out there first. Now, folks, that fits, doesn't it? Because, after all, before he judged the earth the first time in the days of Noah, what had to be done for? He made sure Noah was safe in the ark. Before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he first do? He made sure Lot was safe outside the city. He's going to do the same thing again when he destroys this earth. Before he destroys it, he's going to make sure his people are safe. So you see him sealing them. Marks them. Now turn to the book of Zechariah chapter 9. I want to show you something that's interesting, I think. I don't think I've showed you this before in the past. Bible study, isn't it? Book of Zechariah chapter 9. I'm sorry, Ezekiel chapter 9. Did I say Zechariah? That's age. Ezekiel chapter 9. Now, in the days of Ezekiel, of course, Ezekiel prophesied during the time when Babylon was coming down to conquer Judah. Keep your context and time in order. That's when Ezekiel prophesied. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel was in the captivity. He had been taken to Babylon. And God was going to bring judgment on the rest of the city. Jerusalem would be destroyed, the temple would be destroyed, and they would be carried off into captivity. Everybody got me? Well, then in Ezekiel 9, watch this figurative language. Ezekiel 9, verse 1. He cried unto my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. Talking about the angels going to bring the judgment. Figurative language. Even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lied toward the north. Every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen and written a writer's inkhorn. A writer's what? An inkhorn. You know what an inkhorn is? You know, you put a pen in an inkhorn to write with? So he's got something to write with. What kind of language are we talking about? Figurative. Judgment was coming. Here you have a picture of a man with an inkhorn. Now he's told to do something. This judgment was coming on Judah. This angel, this messenger had an inkhorn. Here, notice what he's told to do. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city. That's the city of Jerusalem. Through the midst of Jerusalem. And set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. Now, was there an angel that flew through Jerusalem with an inkhorn and wrote a mark on all those men literally? No. It's figurative language, just like it is in Revelation chapter 7. The mark simply means you go through and the people that belong to me are the ones that would have cried over the abominations which were done in Jerusalem. So the same kind of language that's used in Ezekiel 9 is used in Revelation 7. It just simply means God is marking His people so that this judgment would not come upon them. And as you read during the Babylonians, when they come down, you'll see that many of the Jews died. But God preserved His people. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel, He preserved them. He said before the judgment came for protection, who did He mark? He marked these people. In other words, He's saying, don't you touch my property. You leave it alone. All the judgment falls on other folks. Well, that's what Revelation 7 is showing you. He seals these people. Puts a mark on them. Literally, no. It just means that these people belong to the Lord. These people belong to the Lord. It's what kind of language again? He's signifying. He's using figurative language. Like God coming down on the earth, or this angel coming down on the earth and flying all over the earth and writing God's property right across your forehead. That's what it means. Figurative language just indicating that these people are God's property, and they will not face the judgment because He's going to take them out here. He's going to take them out here first. Okay? All right. So He seals them. He seals them first. He sets a mark on them. Mark my people before the judgment comes. And then He gets them out. Well, it goes ahead and records there in Revelation chapter 7. Are you back there? Mark that Ezekiel 9 and you look at it. Similar. You see the similarity between the two? Judgment was coming to Judah, to Jerusalem. Mark my people. Why do you want to mark them for? Mark the ones that serve me. Because judgment wasn't going to come on them. And that's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes again. Before the day of His wrath comes, His people are marked and they're taken out. In other words, we're not going to face the judgment. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You should thank God for that. He gets His people out of here. All right? All right, now it goes on and records the number. It gives you a name. It gives you a seal. And then it gives you a number. He calls them servants in verse 3. Seal the servants of our God. Verse 4 says, I heard the number of them that were sealed, and their number was what? 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay, so there's where the 144,000 comes from. And they're sealed here in chapter 7. Now, what seal are we in? Sixth seal. What is the sixth seal? So what's the 144,000? Are raptured saints. And we'll tell you that right now. The raptured saints is who they are. And I'm going to show you why they're pictured in this type fashion. What seal is it again? It's the sixth seal. The sixth seal is the rapture. He gets His people out of here. And that's why they're depicted the way that they are in the text. They've been sealed. Now, I'm going to answer the question, why is there 144,000 of them? Well, look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. In verses 3 through 8, they're sealed. Has everybody got that? What does that mean? He put a mark on them, Tim. He put a mark on them. All over the earth, His people are marked marked, literally, figuratively, just meaning they belong to God. They're mine. I got my mark on them. I got my BH on them, you know, my hammer. I got my mark on them. They're mine. So they're sealed in verses 3 through 8. And then in verse 9, you see their arrival at heaven. You got them sealed in 3 through 8. Then in verse 9, you got them getting there. Where are they at in verse 9? Notice what it says. After this I beheld, after they were sealed, after they were marked, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and they stood before the Lamb. So, verses 3 through 8, you have their arrival, or you have their seal. Then in verse 9, you see them and they're before the what? They're before the throne. You say, well, Jeff, it says a multitude that no man can number. I think it's the same group. Same people. Sealed in verses 3 through 8. Verse 9, they're before the throne. See, they're marked and then they're taken out and taken to heaven. All right, question number 2. Keep following me. I've got a lot to cover. Question number 2. Why are they called Israel? Are they all Jews? Are they all Jews? I mean, there's a lot of folks hold that position to be 144,000 Jews saved in the they put it out in the tribulation. 144,000, are they all Jews? Now listen to me. Absolutely. Yes, sir, they're all Jews. Absolutely, they're all Jews. But let me explain that. Are you ready? I got several questions. You got your Bible ready? Don't stone me. Are they all Jews? I said absolutely. Absolutely, they're Jews. All right. Question number 1. Don't answer out loud. Answer to yourself. And God Almighty, on His throne, looks down at this earth today. Upon the people on this earth. Now you answer this question. Don't give an explanation. Who is Israel? You answer that. Who is Israel? Number 2. Under the new covenant, who is the true Jew? I'm going to give you the scripture here in just a minute. Under the new covenant, who's the true Jew? Number 3. Who is the seed of Abraham under the new covenant? Number 3. Who is the circumcision? Number 4. Who is God's chosen people? And number 5. In Romans chapter 11, the olive tree that is called Israel. Who makes up that olive tree? Now those are 5. How many questions is it? 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5 questions. Now you're going to have to answer that. And I'll let the Scriptures answer that for me. I already know the answers. Most of you already know the answer, but let me give it to you again. My first question was, who is the true Jew? Look at Romans chapter 2. I'm going to have to preach on this again next week because I'm not going to get done. Romans chapter 2. Is that all right? I'll give you little pieces at a time. All right, my question is, who is the true Jew? That's my question. Is that a good question? Romans chapter 2 tells you who the true Jew is. Look at it, says. Verse 28. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is not a Jew which is one where? Outwardly. Neither is that circumcision outward in the flesh. Now listen to this. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Everybody got that? That's what you got to see. I'm a Gentile by physical birth, but I'm a Jew by new birth. I'm a descendant of Abraham by new birth. Everybody see that? Is that what it says? So here the Lord says the true Jew is one that is inward, and the circumcision is that of the heart. That defines it. You can write down a little note for definition of a Jew. Following that definition right there, when God looks down from heaven, let's go to the first big question. I actually asked six. When God looks down upon the world today, who's the Jew? Who's the truth? The one that's one inwardly. It doesn't make any difference, though. It doesn't make any difference what nationality you are. It's whether or not you've had a new birth. The true Jew, Harlan, is one inwardly. Hey, I'm a Jew. Spiritually. I'm a descendant of Abraham spiritually. And you know, when Christ Jesus comes again, in Revelation 7 at the rapture, he's pictured as taking out all the Jews. That's all of God's people. Because all of God's people, based on Romans 2, are Jews. A Jew is one inwardly. You know, if a Jew is a Jew by birth, but they've never trusted the Messiah, they're not a Jew. Not a true Jew. Not a true one. That's where everybody gets bum-fuzzled. Right there. And gets mad. Quarrels. Doesn't make no difference whether you was born a Jew or a Gentile. If you've trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, you are a Jew inwardly. And if Jesus would come tonight, who's he taking out of here? All the Jews. And they're scattered all over the world. All over the world as people from different nationalities. They're born Russian or born Chinese or born in India or whatever. All kindreds, tribes, nation, and people. And when King Jesus comes again and he takes them out, they're all Jews, though. All Jews inwardly. That's what a Jew is. We've lost that. That's the new covenant. All right, I'm not done. Let's look on. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we'll take you out tonight and leave you hanging. Then that way you have to come back next week and hear the rest of it. Galatians chapter 3. You know, the Lord told Abraham to go out and tell the stars. You know what tell the stars means? Count them. Your seed, your descendants is going to be as the stars of heaven. Now, we know you can't count the stars of heaven. They're what? Can't number. Your descendants is going to be as the sand of the seashore. Well, Galatians chapter 3 tells you who Abraham's seed is. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. Mark these verses down. Chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith..." What's it mean, they which are of faith? They that have put faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. They which be of faith are the children of who? Children of Abraham. Abraham's children. You say, well, I'm not literally. If you trace my lineage back, I certainly don't go back to Abraham physically. But you know what? I go back to Abraham spiritually. Abraham was saved by faith, and all of his descendants are saved by faith. And they're called Abraham's what? Children. All right, let's look on. Look down at verse 29. If ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's what? That's what it says. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Now let's think about that a little bit. What all it's. Listen to what the Scriptures are saying. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. A true Jew is one that's inwardly. One that's trustful. The children of Abraham are those that be of faith. Those that be of faith. And the seed of Abraham, all those that trusted in Christ, are called the seed of Abraham. I'm Abraham's seed. Now, if I tell you tonight I'm Abraham's seed and I'm a child of Abraham, then you say, that man's a Jew then. Yes, I am. So are you. And when Jesus comes again under the new covenant, everybody that's saved is viewed as a Jew. Everyone that's born again is viewed as a Jew. Ready? Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. We are the circumcision. Now, does everybody know that one of the names for the Jews in the Old Testament was what? They were called the circumcision because of the practice of circumcision. And at eight days old, every little Jewish boy was circumcised. Paul said that he was circumcised in the book of Philippians the eighth day. So that they would refer to themselves as the circumcision. Now, what would they call Gentiles? The uncircumcision. Remember old Goliath? David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That he would defy the armies for living God. So the term circumcision was used to refer to the Jews. Listen to what Paul says about that word. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. We are the circumcision. Now, he defines who the circumcision is under the new covenant. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Messiah Jesus, and has no confidence in the flesh. Circumcision are those that trust Christ. Their confidence is not in the flesh. Their confidence is in Jesus Christ. You ask someone that's a true Jew, you ask him, are they going to heaven? You know what they won't do? They won't say, well, you know, I've been a good person all my life. That's why I'm... No, they'll tell you, I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. He died for me. He paid my sin debt. That's the true circumcision. That's the true Jew. That's the seed of Abraham. And that's the child of Abraham also. Who is God's chosen people? I'm not going to be mean, but some of these guys wear me out with that. They don't have a thing in the world referring to literal Israel as God's chosen people, but they exclude the Gentile from being God's chosen people. Don't believe that at all. They cut your throat over it. Turn to Ephesians 1. Does everybody in the house know that the book of Ephesians was a church located at Ephesus? And you know what kind of church it was? It was a church made up of saved Gentiles who were spiritually what? Jews. Ephesians chapter 1. That aggravates me, folks. Anytime you see the word elect, apply it to literal Jews. When the word elect applies to all those that be of faith, Gentile as well as Jew, that irritates me to death. Matthew 24 says, I'm going to tell you what it says. You know what it says. He'll send forth His angels, and they angels shall gather together His elect from the four winds of the earth and from one end of heaven to the other. They're all the elect. Anyone that comes to faith in Christ is the elect. Verse 4. Look at verse 4. According as He, who's the He? God, hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, and we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of pleasure, according to the adoption of children by Himself, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Who is God's chosen people? Now, I've read all that. I read you the Scriptures, right? Who's a true Jew according to Romans 2? One inwardly. Who's the seed of Abraham according to Galatians 3? All that be of faith. Who's the child of all that be of faith? Who's the true circumcision? Those that don't have no confidence in their flesh, but all their confidence is in Jesus Christ. Who's God's chosen people? All those that be of faith, folks. It just doesn't apply to literal Israel. It applies to all of God's people. Okay, now I'm going to tell you this, and you can read it at home. In Romans 11, I'm going to watch me build this olive tree. The Apostle Paul explains the new covenant. You have an olive tree that's called Israel. See that tree? And what's the tree have in it? It has branches. Under the new covenant, what it says that the Jews were broken off because of unbelief. What's that olive tree called again? Israel. You know what it says in Romans 11 about the Gentiles? Says they were grafted in. And what's the name of that olive tree again, though? Don't forget the name of the tree. I'm a Gentile by physical birth. But I've been made a part of Israel. I've been made a part of Israel by new birth. I'm a part of the olive tree. You say, well, you've just excluded the Jews. No, I haven't. No, I have not. God's still saving Jews. He's still saving them. And He says, I'm able to put them right in their tree. That's what He says in Romans 11. That's why we support Jewish missions. They brought us the gospel first, folks. We take the gospel to the Jew. And when they receive the Messiah, they're put in their own tree. You see, Israel, folks, is saved. Saved. Listen to me. Saved Jews and Gentiles. Really, you shouldn't say Jews and Gentiles. It's all saved Jews. Ephesians 3. I can finish this. Can I take 5 minutes? 7 minutes. 7 minutes. Give me 7 minutes. I'll let you. I can finish this. If I leave it, it'll be. I have to go all back through it to explain it. You see what I mean? Okay. Ephesians 2. Verse 12, it says, in times past ye were without Christ. You're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That's what we were under the old covenant. Strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you that were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Who's those people made nigh? Look at verse 19. I want everybody in the house to look at verse 19. I'll be happy. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners. Who's that talking to? Gentiles. We're not strangers and foreigners no more. But we're fellow what? What's it say? Fellow what? What's it called fellow citizens for? Because we're part of the same nation. What's that nation called? It's called Israel. God done away with Israel? Absolutely not. He just made it bigger and better. He's brought the Gentile, made him a part of Israel, and everyone in Israel saved because he's broke off all the unbelieving. It's bigger and better. Now, since we know who Israel is, Rob, if Jesus Christ would come tonight, He seals these people. You see, it's very fitting that He refers to them as Israel, because that's who they are. And He makes it clear so you'll know. He has them sealed. And then He has them arriving before the throne. In verse 9, He says, these are they that came out of the great tribulation, the wars, rumors of wars, famines, persecution of believers, and all those things. First 5 seals. But then it makes it clear to you that it is a multitude from all kindreds, tongues, nations, and people. Now, if Jesus would come tonight, where's all of God's people at? They're all over the world, aren't they? We know that. Are they all Jews? Sure aren't. If they've trusted Christ, they're all Jews. Regardless of how they were born physically, they're all Jews. You know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to take them all out. He sets His seal on them. They're not going to have to go through the judgment. He sets His seal on them. Figurative language. And then He takes them out of here. And then in verse 9, you see them before the throne. And that's what would happen if that would happen tonight. And all those people is going to be a multitude that no man can number. Of all kindred, tribes, nations, and people. You say, well, why does it say 144,000? It's a figurative number. It's a number used to represent all of Israel. And it's a good number. For instance, in chapter 4, I think it's chapter 4. Let me look. Yeah, chapter 5, I'm sorry. You're presented with 24 elders. And the 24 elders is a picture of the saved that have died and are in heaven today. Is there more than 24 of them? Well, of course they are. The number 24 pictures that they're all priests and all the priesthood is there. See, all believers are priests and under the new covenant. And there are 24 of them, though. There's 24 orders of priests in the Old Testament, so the number 24 stands for all the priesthood. How many tribes made up Israel? 12. And the largest division within here, they had it divided up into hundreds and fifties and for judgment. And the largest division was 1,000. 12,000 times 12,000, 144,000. It's a number of completeness. And it represents all of Israel. Showing you that God not only has them marked, but He's got them all numbered. All Israel will be saved. He takes them all out. And that's the rapture. So folks, who is the 144,000? They are the raptured saved. Why are they called Jews? Because all believers are Jews. Why? How else would He depict them in this particular text? Old Testament prophecy does this. Prophesied there's going to come a day when the Lord was going to regather Israel. You say, what happened in 1948? No, it didn't. 1948. You know what the Old Testament prophet says? He's going to regather Israel, and it says then David's going to be their king. King Jesus is going to be their king. You know what else it says in the Old Testament? They're going to be brought back to their land, and there's going to be no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more death, no more suffering. When's that going to be? That's going to be when He takes us to heaven. And the Bible says Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was, you know what city that is? New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. That's our city. That's our home. And He's going to regather Israel one day. He's going to come back with a trumpet. And He's going to take us all out. And that's who the 144,000 represent. All the Jews, spiritually, that are taken out at the rapture. He pictures them being sealed. Then He pictures them arriving there before the throne with palms in their hands. You know what the palms was a picture of? Rejoicing. Like the Feast of Tabernacles. They're in the land now. They're home. They're in glory. That could happen tonight. That could happen tonight. If you're spiritually a Jew, if you're trusted Christ, then you'll be sealed, marked, and you'll be taken out of here. And that's who the 144,000 are. I think that fits the Scriptures. That's the context of Revelation 6. That's the sixth seal. The sixth seal is before what seal? The seventh is the judgment. That's where people get their seals messed up. The seventh seal is the judgment. Before the judgment, Israel's taken out. All God's people said. All right, let's all stand. I'm going to leave it at that. If that generates more questions, you write them down on a piece of paper with your name.